discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. Hey, Anderson, I need a longer mic cord when we get three guests in here. You know, I like to work in a fully reclined position, and I can only partially recline with the 3-foot mic cord.
Why does it have to be? Oh, I see, because somebody else has stolen your cord.
I don't know if someone else steals my cord or it's my jack. It must be my cord, right?
Yeah, I thought you meant this just because there are three people here that you needed to lie down extra prone. extra reclining when three people are here.
Yes, I cannot burn a single extra calorie with three people because I look at my guests as my balls. Now, hear me out. Not my scrotum, but a juggler's balls. And I must keep them all in the air simultaneously.
I see. So
if you want to call them watching me while I talk for 2 hours, they're keeping them in the air. Bad Religion is our guest tonight. Brooks, Greg, and Brett are all here.
Thank you very much.
Not Greg Graffin, but Greg Hetson is here from the band. And where's Greg Graffin, by the way?
Ithaca.
On a plane?
Oh, he lives out there. Is that right?
Yeah, last night of our tour, and most of the guys, well, the guys who don't live in L.A. flew home.
Ithaca. I know we got into this last time, but what a crazy place to live.
Cornell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, he lives there full time?
Yes, when he's not in Bad Religion, he's matriculating.
Jesus Christ.
Got that?
That's what they call beating off in Ithaca?
I guess so.
Bad Religion has been around for like 22 years and had a nice, healthy resurgence over this last tour. I know the CD has sold well and has got Bad Religion back on the map. Not that Bad Religion ever went away, but it seems like a little Bad Religion resurgence. Is this true?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, L.A.'s always been really great for us. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we've had a little resurgence, and no little thanks to K-Rock. I mean, they've helped a lot with supporting Sorrow. They were the first ones.
Right.
It's been great.
And I've been hearing more about them this time around than before. Weren't we commenting on that at some point, Drew? Yeah, just say no.
I just, it's been going on for so many years. But, you know, Bad Religion waxes and wanes. It never goes away. You know what I mean? It comes in. It gets more intense and less intense.
I know, but it is flared up. Bad Religion has flared up recently.
We're having a flare.
Yeah, it's a musical virus.
Yes.
It's not.
All right, so what's next then? Co-headlining the Warped Tour. Mm-hmm. Which, when does that start up? Are all these tours starting up now?
Can you believe that?
June's 20-something.
It's April. Mm-hmm. 2 months.
Jesus Christ. And who's on that? We've been talking to some bands, but I'm starting to get my tours confused.
No Effects, Hot Water Music, Death by Stereo. I'll just name all the Epitaph bands.
And are you guys going to do a leg, or are you going to do the whole thing?
The whole thing.
Well, I guess, yeah, if you're co-headlining.
We're doing three legs.
Yeah.
Jesus. Well, it's actually referring to a call we had here on Loveline last time. All right, so we'll hear something from The Process of Belief, the new CD, and we'll take some calls and we'll do all that. Alec Baldwin coming in here Wednesday night, by the way, Drew.
I heard about that.
Yeah, so that should be...
You didn't actually want to come on here. You just want to sit and watch. Just revel in your genius, Adam.
Yes, he said he wanted to come watch me talk. But you know, he's got a lot to say, this Baldwin. He's no poser. He's got a lot of opinions,
sure.
This guy. So we should get in some good arguments with him. And I'm going to try to talk him into doing something for the Man Show too. So it's going to be a long night, Drew.
All right.
As a matter of fact, you don't need to show up Wednesday.
Oh, nice. Cool.
We'll start off by talking to Elizabeth, who's 18. Elizabeth.
Hey.
Hey.
What's up?
What's happening?
Nothing. I have a little problem.
Mm-hmm.
I have, I guess, I don't know if they're boils. I don't know what they are, but they're on my thighs.
Mm-hmm. Right? Your inner, that could be your vagina. Is it inside the thigh?
No.
Oh, I see. Okay.
No.
No.
It doesn't get that close.
Are you your big gal?
Mm-hmm.
Drew sensed you were a big gal by hearing your voice.
No. This is a problem that big people get.
Oh, the boil thing.
The boil thing in the folds in the thigh, in the inner thigh.
Is it in a fold?
It's near the folds.
near.
Yeah, it's a folliculitis, basically, and it's a bacterial overgrowth. Things are kind of moist down there when there's all that.
Yeah.
And it sets up yeast sometimes, and certain kinds of anaerobic bacteria can get going. So you want to keep it super, super dry, and you want to, like, even dry it off with a hair dryer and super, super sterilize if you can.
It just struck me. I never really thought about this, but life is attempting to occur almost everywhere all the time, and if you have an extra fold or two and it gets a little moist down there and you can't get to it with the loofah, life will occur. Fat people need the equivalent of a pilot fish. You know, sharks have that pilot fish. It just sort of swims around them and sucks stuff off them because they're a little too big to get at certain spots. We need one of those for fat people. I'm not sure if it's, I'm not sure what it is. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm just scared where you might be going with this.
Well, I'm just saying, oftentimes big people
can't... Will this be another human?
I don't know, Drew. I got to think about this. I'm not sure if it comes from the animal kingdom or it's some sort of mechanized thing that actually just works its way around the person. Like, you see those things in the swimming pools? They're called a Polaris. They just sort they just sort of roam around sucking algae.
But life will find a way.
Yeah, but not if you have a catfish on you. I mean, constantly. Just something that just circumnavigates the big person eating at
it'll
them.
It'll keep the life that's developing from developing too much.
Elizabeth?
So, Elizabeth, sometimes this requires antibiotics. You might get some Physohex or some antibacterial scrubs. And if you have any red...
they get real painful, and sometimes they get, I guess, pus in them.
Yeah, you need to be on some antibiotics. You need to see your doctor about that. Bad times.
How much do you weigh?
Oh, close to 200.
Oh, that's not too big. You wouldn't be a candidate for my pilot fish pilot program until you got into the 250, 270 range.
Oh, well, I guess I'm lucky, huh?
Well, you could look at it lucky or maybe not.
What about leeches?
Yeah, that's another good idea.
Yeah. Elizabeth, seriously, they can get rather problematic. And some people, they're not overweight people. They get recurrent ferunculosis.
What about sun time? Does that help
sun
at all?
Dry.
I mean, you got to dry things up, right? Where's she calling from, Oklahoma? Hey, Elizabeth?
Yeah.
How about, what about just keeping things dry and that kind of thing, you know?
Right now, though, she needs to get
my boyfriend, he's a horny little bastard, so.
Well, maybe he could work as a pilot fish. How small is he?
Oh, he weighs, how much do you weigh, babe? 210? He weighs about 210.
Oh, okay.
He won't do.
All right, he won't work. The pilot fish cannot weigh more than the fish. I've tried that. It was a horrible experiment. Went horribly wrong. All right, Elizabeth.
Okay.
Good times.
You too.
Get see a doctor. He needs some antibiotics.
Got a lot of personality, this one.
Yeah.
Drew, what causes the boils? Are these boils?
Mm-hmm, basically.
What causes
they're probably hair follicle infections that get out of control.
Yeah. What did I have on my rectum that time?
The carb. Well, that might have been a fistula. Or perianal abscess. Mm. Yeah.
Carbuncle sounds better.
Carbuncle really is in the skin. This was in around the anus.
Oh. No, how dare you?
Well, when you leaned over that mirror with that light shined up your rear punctured that thing?
Well, first off, you have to make everything so humiliating. I was not leaning over a mirror. I was on my back with my legs up against a mirrored vanity door, bouncing a flashlight off of the mirror and into the rectum.
Sounds much...
Next caller! Thank you.
Much more sort of scientific, yes.
Yes. Kyle? What, Drew?
It's a perianal abscess.
Thank you. Kyle?
Yeah?
Yeah, but I couldn't have popped it with a pin, could I have?
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks for sharing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel better.
I was going to use a stun gun on myself in a video for Spanish, and we're going to record it. And
for what?
For we have to make a video, like a movie for Spanish class.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering if I'm going to go to the hospital or something after I shock myself.
No, I've been hit with one of those. Yeah. I mean, what kind? You have like an industrial strength one or one chick's keeping their purse?
I don't know. It's like 100,000 volts or something like that.
100,000 volts?
I don't think it's 100,000 volts.
Oh, well,
what is it, a taser?
Volts, but
yeah.
It's a taser thing?
No, you touch it to them.
Well, where did you get it?
On the internet.
Is this to basically illustrate the plight of the Chicano man and its mistreatment by the white LAPD? Or
grandes éxitos.
What is this for?
Oh,
why? What's that have to do with Spanish class?
Nothing. We're making fun of a world history teacher. And it's like Godfather, and we're going to abduct him and stun gun him.
Why can't you... You put your stun gun without the batteries in it and make like you've been stunned. Who's going to know the difference?
Why don't you just stun your genitals?
Who?
Yeah.
What? How are they going to know you weren't being stunned in real life if you acted as though you were stunned? You know, when you see those movies and people are getting shot, do you think they're being shot?
No.
Okay.
But is there anything bad going to happen if I do shock myself?
Possibly.
Hold on,
sure.
Brandon Lee did actually.
You did get shot.
Yeah. So you're wrong on that one. Kyle?
Yeah.
I don't know. Why don't you give yourself, other partner, Jimmy, his cousin Sal got hold of one of these things and gave it to everybody. And I'm here. I'm fine.
All right.
So just give it to yourself in the leg, see what happens.
Okay.
All right there, buddy.
All right, thanks.
All right, good times.
Bye.
Good times.
All
right. Now, those things don't pack as much.
We don't
punch.
Know what he has, though. Who knows what he's up to?
Well, you know, it runs off a 9-volt battery or something. There's certain things in life that aren't as bad as you think they are, should be, and then there's certain things that are a little worse, like those paintballs. Those things are worse than you think. Yeah, you think, God, it's got to be safe, right? Yeah. Everyone's running around. No, they hurt. Mm-hmm. They leave a mark. You get hit with one of those things, especially like in the forehead or the face.
You get welts all over your
body. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good time, though. You're true. You ever fire one off?
Sounds like a good time.
Oh, it's fun. I mean, you're going.
More fun than a stun gun?
Yeah, well, I keep the stun gun in my boot in case I got to take some guy out commando style. But the paintballs for the range, yeah. Run out of ammo, and I got to drop down from a tree, give a gook the stun gun in the neck. And then I get in his uniform, and I go into camp posing as a guard.
Ciao.
Drew, that's one thing you don't see on TV that much, that switching of the outfits.
Yes, not so much.
Guy coming down the hall, the karate chop, dragged into the closet, cut to me coming out in the uniform.
Fits perfectly.
You know, it takes me like 45 minutes just to get dressed with my own crap. I couldn't imagine myself pulling something off of another guy and then putting it on. It'd be 3 days.
It's the thing of, listen, when you actually get dressed, which is once a moon, once a quarter, it takes you a week.
I know. I mean, how hard would it be to get a guy's pants off and get them onto you? I mean, and that would just be painful. And someone would walk in while you were trying to get the guy's pants down, and it would look like
it doesn't take very long to get a guy's pants off.
Oh, it's not?
No.
But when he's unconscious, right?
No, it's never taken me that long.
Right.
Brett's talking from experience.
Hey, but when you OD on that GHB, aren't you still semi-lucid, Drew? I mean, couldn't you follow basic commands like drop your pants?
No.
Okay. Joe?
Yeah, how you doing?
Oh, you're 22. What's up?
Well, I've just been dealing with, pedophilia and stuff like that, and just trying to, I haven't done anything. But wanted to know if you had any suggestions about dealing with it.
Get treatment quick before you hurt somebody.
Well, see, I mean, I've done a lot of research on it and stuff like that, but, can they do anything?
Yeah, there are people that can. I think, in my experience, people that approach it as a sexual compulsion have the greatest success with this. Were you sexually abused yourself?
No.
Yeah. Now, Drew, don't buy it.
Hmm.
You've never acted out on this?
No, I haven't. I mean, it's a struggle. You know, especially since I work with kids, you know, I'm a teacher, but, you know, I haven't done anything.
What ages do you teach?
What's that?
What ages?
Junior high.
What age?
What's that?
What age?
Seventh and eighth grade.
What age?
That's...
Oh, forget it.
You don't know how old they are? You got to do the math on the kids you see every day, goofball.
No, come on now, I'm serious.
Yeah. What subject? What subject?
Religion.
Bad religion.
Amen. All right, buddy. It ain't happening there, Joe. And look, I'll see you in hell.
No, I'm
by the way.
If this is serious, you need to look on the website of the National Council on Sexual Addiction and Compulsivity. It's ncsac.org, I believe it is. National Society of Sexual... No. Sexual Addiction, NCSAC. And look, there are people that have some success with this. However, the reason we were sort of busting your chops on this is that usually this is preceded by some sort of childhood trauma, and sexual abuse being the most common one by far.
And usually, though, haven't you made a move by age 22?
Not necessarily. And again, if he's atypical and he doesn't remember the abuse or it was something mild and how he got wired this way.
Or what percentage of pedophiles have made a move by 22, would you say?
Over
70%?
I imagine.
All right, but there still could be a significant group that haven't.
And he's not really...
I'm 37. I'm poised for a move, is what I'm saying.
And his thing is, see, he may be a little different. We may be misinterpreting what he's telling us. Maybe he's focused on 12, 13-year-olds, like pre-adolescent kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he's having to contain himself. That's really not pedophilia. That's just...
Is it the fellas he was interested in?
Ask him.
I know we always just assume that, but maybe not. Joe?
Yeah.
Guys or girls?
Mostly guys.
Mostly.
Yeah.
And you like the 12, 13-year-old kind of guys?
Yeah, about that.
All right, so that's not... When we think of pedophilia, we think of, you know, 6, 7, 8-year-olds.
No, not that young. I mean, it's awful. I mean, like, I struggle with it tons. I hate it.
Did something happen to you when you were that age?
Not that I know of. And, I mean, I know that that's usual, but, you know, I talked to some people, to one of my professors in school, and you know, just kind of an anonymous sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, that most of them... or at least a significant number, aren't because of trauma.
There are a certain percentage that aren't, but...
I wouldn't say it's more than half, though.
I might have misunderstood them, too.
All right. But, well, these guys, you know, with the big beards and the pipes in their mouth, they're hard to understand. All right, hey, Joe, the good news is you haven't done anything.
Right.
At the ripe old age of 22. The bad news is you have these thoughts going through your head, but this is just something you're going to have to keep on top of.
Right.
There's no
kicking it, huh?
Yeah, there is. Yeah, there is. Again, the attachment theorists would say that in a what's called an intersubjective experience with another person, that you'd learn to attach more healthy way, and some of this stuff would sort of settle down. And that you know, again, go see someone who has experience in dealing with this. They can treat this.
All right. Let's talk to Sean, who's 16. Sean?
Hello?
What's up?
Hey.
You're on with Bad Religion, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I was wondering, my girlfriend...
Hey, Sean.
What?
I'm going to hang up on you now.
Why?
Because I didn't like the uh-huh when I said you're on with Bad Religion.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't get that.
Well, I'd like you to kiss Bad Religion's ass for just a second.
Oh, that's the band. So if I know, I was listening last night. They're good.
Okay.
I like them.
Okay.
All right. There's no enthusiasm.
Kid just dodged a major bullet there. All right, Sean, go ahead.
All right. I was wondering how to change the taste of your... semen, because my girlfriend says it tastes like butter and she doesn't really like it.
Well, I don't know. As semen goes, I can't imagine butter is sort of the bad end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, I notice asparagus changes the smell of your pee. Will it change the taste of your semen?
Oh, God.
Is that true, Drew?
I don't know about that. God damn it, your pee.
I eat like 70 stalks of asparagus a week, and I go in that bathroom, and Drew starts gagging.
It's total destruction.
This is no exaggeration. We urinate at the same time because...
Different toilets, mind you.
Yeah, different toilets.
Occasionally a sword fight. But
yeah, and I eat the asparagus, and it is just brutal on Drew. And so why not? If you could change your urine that much, but...
Well, but can you change your poo, or can you change your snot, or can you change your, you know, eating marshmallows and strawberries, you know, change your, what you blow out of your nose?
No.
Okay. So.
Sean?
Hmm?
Butter is not bad.
I heard that pineapple makes it sweeter. But
yeah,
well, why don't you try it all and see what she says? This is an experiment I'd like to volunteer my penis for, by the way. Oh, ladies, you be the judge. You tell me what I ate this evening, and then tomorrow night I'll spin the culinary wheel, and we'll try another dish.
I'm upset.
Tonight's dish, couscous. How many voted for goulash?
Shawarma.
And how many voted for shawarma?
Okay.
This would be great. What a great ruse. Meanwhile, you're eating the same thing. You're eating macaroni and cheese every night. All right. I don't have enough time to
I'll
get
be the control group.
Yeah, would you like to be the control? You'll, I'll just eat the sugar pills when you blow me. All right. Hey, Drew.
Hey, Adam.
How do they, you know, you see those tests with they have the groups and they talk about the same, they experience the same side effects as the people who ate the sugar pills?
Right.
What side effects do the sugar pill people
They have headaches
experience.
And diarrhea and abdominal pain. And
From eating the sugar pills?
Yeah. People are highly suggestible.
That's it, huh? I don't know. Do you even have to publish the part where they had the same thing as the people that had nothing? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, I'm coming out with this medication. I give one group the medication.
You do,
I give the other group nothing.
Because
and now I got to tell you what the nothing group had?
Because it was 8% headache. That's like 1 out of 10 people are going to get a headache. And then they go, well, look at the control group. They also had 8% headache. So therefore, you sort of draw your own conclusions. Was this an anomaly or?
And always very confusing when they say experienced the same as the control group who ate the sugar pill, whose symptoms involved headache, diarrhea, and blah, blah, blah. I'm thinking from eating a Pez?
Mm.
And how stupid are these people? Or do at any given time, X amount of people just have something like a headache?
Have something, and people are suggestible. People, when they believe that something's going to happen.
So you're just saying people are stupid.
It's not a stupidity thing.
Yeah, it's dumb. You know, they always go, they always say that, hypnotists say that smart people are more easily hypnotized. They do that to make you, to do it, but it's dumb people. I've always learned that. Don't believe anything else. All right, let's hear Sorrow, shall we, from Bad
Religion?
Yeah,
great.
Yeah? No, let's hear it, Anderson.
This is the one we have to go to break right now.
All right. We'll take a little break. Bad Religion is our guest, and we'll be right back and hear them after this.
There
thank you. Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Tomorrow night we got the anal sex chick in here, right, Drew?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's always a good time.
Who?
She's some anal sex expert.
She was in here once a couple years ago.
Yeah, she's crazy, right?
As I recall.
But semi-attractive, right?
Semi, yes, and nice, very smart. Remember?
Wasn't she like half Jewish or something?
Not a chance.
I remember thinking her mom was going to kill herself.
Not a chance, Mike.
Brooks, Greg, and Brett are all here from Bad Religion. We're going to hear something off the process of belief.
Yeah.
And let's take two calls first. This will be a quick one. Mike?
Yep.
You're 14?
Yep.
Yeah.
First, let me say you guys are funny as hell.
Us?
Yeah.
Thanks.
My question is, Adam, how many times have you guest starred on Family Guy?
I think I was on it like one whole episode where I was like the guest star, and then maybe two other times. Maybe three.
Okay.
Three, the two small ones and one big one, something like that.
All right.
Yeah, I love that show, by the way. Just
unacceptable.
Wish it would stay on the air. What's up?
Is it going off the air?
Yeah, I think it is.
That sucks.
Yeah. Yeah.
This conversation can serve no purpose.
Yeah.
Anymore.
All right, that's right, Mike.
Is that it?
And also, when you're playing paintball, getting shot in the arm and stuff doesn't hurt. When you get shot in, like, the back of the knee and your knee, like, unlatches, that sucks.
Oh, when you release it, attaches from your body.
Dislocate your knee, huh?
That hurts. Yeah. Nice.
It does suck.
Mm-hmm. Let's say you're hypothetically your knee dislocated with no paintball. Would there still be pain involved, or...
Yeah, I imagine. Yes, yes.
And like when that happens in football, is that all paintball related, or is that just if actually from cutting on the turf?
If A, then B, then B. It must be paintball.
Can your knee pop out taking the placebo though?
I'm not sure. If you have diarrhea, Drew, if everyone had diarrhea so badly that their knee came out of joint when they were on the pot?
It would be a medication side effect. Placebo, though.
True. If you ever, seriously, I love it when a guy injures himself doing almost nothing or something embarrassing. Have you ever dealt with anyone who hurt themselves on the toilet?
Oh, of course. Happens all the time.
Another part of their body.
Yeah, people,
fell off the toilet, busted up their elbow.
Oh, yes. And the bathroom is the most common room in the house for household injuries, severe household injuries.
Really?
Oh, yes.
I've heard that.
Yeah, I have heard that as well.
Think of your bathroom, what might go down in there.
I heard some lady got stuck in a bathroom in an airplane recently.
Got injured?
No, she's flushed it while she was sitting down. She's quite large. She got stuck and had a...
Oh, created a vapor lock?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Jeez.
No, that could happen.
Didn't either.
This is why I don't beat off in the shower. Because I know at the moment of blast off, I might tense up and possibly black out, hit my head on a soap dish, and that's where they would find me.
With the bowling pin.
What a way to die.
Yeah. It'd be great grist for everyone's meal. Oh. All right, let's take one more call, and then we'll hear Bad Religion song. Michael?
Yeah, hi. Hey,
you're 32?
Yes.
What's up?
Basically, I was involved in probably the best relationship anybody could be involved in, and it ended. And I just don't quite understand what I should do now as far as, like, I know she cares for me very much. I care for her very much. We're basically adults, but I kind of blew up on her mom.
Okay, hold on a second. We'll slow down, slow down.
Blow up on her mom.
How long were you with her?
I'm sorry?
How long were you with her?
About 2.5 years.
How old was she?
31. She'll be 32.
You're both in your mid-30s.
I was previously married.
You're basically adults?
Well, we are adults.
Why'd you blow up at her mom?
It was misunderstanding. I was under a lot of stress. I saw that whole thing happen with September 11th from work. Basically, I was stressed out from work, and I had feelings like her mom sort of was a little bit against me, and her mom felt I was a little bit against her. And I guess the tension was there, and one night I kind of exploded, which is
like,
something
like, what do you mean against you? Like in terms of becoming a son-in-law against
you? Yeah.
Are there any issues we should know about here that complicate your relationship?
Or? Well, I was previously married.
But ethnicity or religion or something that would...
No, we're both Catholic. Actually, I went for an annulment after my marriage. I had the divorce. I got the annulment, which finally went through. But I had been sick. My original marriage ended. I had a tumor on my colon in 97, and I almost lost my life. While I was recuperating, my ex-wife decided to go out and party and meet someone else, and, you know, so be it. Whatever, she moved on, and I moved on, and she wishes for me. Then, you know, I met this person. We started out very slow, best friends, and it grew from there. This incident happened.
All right, so wait a second. You two were very much in love, having the best relationship anyone could have.
Yeah.
I doubt it rivals my relationship with Jesus Christ. But we'll find that out later. And you say that you broke up, and because you blew up at her mom,
well,
there didn't seem like enough there to break up if you guys were having a great relationship.
It was like, that's what I don't understand. I mean, and like what happened was after this whole thing happened, we kind of like separated for a few and tried to work things out. But it was like I called her house last week, and you know, her mom like got on the phone and yelled at me, and basically,
right, hold on a second. Does she have Down syndrome?
No, not at all.
Why is she living at home?
She basically, her father passed away, and she takes care of her mom. Her mom is, you know, a great person.
No, she's not.
Somebody screwed up.
Yeah, there. Somebody's not so great.
I think I screwed up, you know,
maybe you are too, but what's she doing for her mom? Her mom can't get around. She's got plenty of energy for chewing your ass.
No. I did wrong too. I mean, I admit, you know, I lost it. You know, it's just,
listen, Michael, just listen to the question.
Why is she,
Just listen to the question.
Is she in a wheelchair? Is she?
No, not at all. It's just.
Why does she have to go home and take care of her?
Not that she has to take care of her, but I just see what I felt was that.
No. Forget what you felt. Why does she have to take care of her mom?
Well, she doesn't.
Why does she have to live with her mom? Mm. This is trouble.
Yeah, a 32-year-old living with the mom, it means something. It's called enmeshment in terms of the relationship, if nothing else.
See, I just felt that maybe because of me, you know, like...
No, stop.
Like, I'm trying to contact her, you know, I don't know if I should...
All right, hold on a second. What does your ex-girlfriend do?
She works in an office, basically. She's an executive administrator for a company.
What do you do?
I'm in retail management.
So she makes a decent living, does she?
Yeah, she makes a decent living. I make a decent living. We both do very well.
Why? I don't understand why everyone is up each other's ass. I see my own mom once a month, and it's too much. Hold on a second. What's wrong with everyone and their parents? Listen, you kiss those fogies goodbye about 18 or 19, and that's about it. Other than that, you put them on maintenance. You try to act nice. You pretend like you're listening when they call. If you hit the lottery, maybe you lease your dad an American car, but that's about as far as it goes. What's with the moving back home and getting into big blowout arguments with everybody? I mean, I've had a million girlfriends. I've seen their parents like two or three times. Like, I never even got into it. Like, you just, how you doing? Yeah. You know, once in a while you get drunk, you slip up, tell them what a piece of ass their daughter is or something. But you never really even get into it with them.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
well, listen, you shouldn't disparage people taking care of other generations, okay? That's one thing. But to have...
Well, I mean, if they're Asian or something, that's fine. But Americans shouldn't be doing that. We should be making fun of the elderly.
I was just going to say that. Asians, but not Americans. Okay.
Hey, and so, we look forward. forward, not back.
But be that as it may, if multiple generations are going to live in the same household, there must be clear boundaries. People can't be responsible for each other's feelings and lives except just to support each other and to respect each other and to share, but not to be intruded upon and to determine another person's course in their life.
You're calling your 32-year-old woman and her mom's picking up the phone and chewing you out. Yeah. This is never going to work.
Here's his reaction. That should be like... Like, that's like the poor old woman.
Right.
Laugh at it and get a hold of your girlfriend.
Hey, Michael.
Yeah.
There's stuff going on here. Hey, here's what I would say.
I blew up and I.
All right. Well, you got to stop blowing up all the time.
Well, that I'm dealing with.
All right. You deal with your anger issues.
Right.
And she has to deal with her codependent issues living at home.
It's not really a codependency or anything like that. It's just that. You know, I understand her mom's protecting her daughter. You know, my thing is when you have an argument with someone, you have a problem, you work it out. And I tried calling too many times, and I feel maybe I pushed her further away from me by doing that.
That's not a normal reaction. That is profound enmeshment. That's not a normal reaction.
Send mom over a fruit basket and send some lingerie over for the daughter and make sure you label them correctly.
Unless his perceptions of this relationship is extremely distorted and this woman has been looking for an out and got it and jumped ship. That's the only other explanation other than the fact that this relationship with the mom is sick.
All right, Michael's a little screwy. She's a little screwy. Everyone's a mess here. Do we really need to get these people together? No.
Let's listen to a Bad Religion song. But okay. but I do think that she may be jumping ship. Let's see
it's a failed project.
All right, yeah. It didn't work out. It's basically what the metric system was in this country. Let's just walk away. Let's just pretend it didn't happen and try to start new. All right, this is Bad Religion, and this is Sorrow. A very, very good song called Sorrow off the Process of Belief. Bad Religion is our guest tonight. Man, I really like that song.
Mm. Brett's the author of it, by the way.
Really?
Nice.
Hi, sweet. That is a sweet, sweet song. I love it. I just love the guitar work and the drums. You just can't go wrong.
Thanks.
A little Rawhide kind of vibe to it.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk to Matt, who's 24. Matt?
What's going on?
What's happening?
Yo.
I want to say, what's up, BR?
Yo, yo.
I saw you guys the last couple nights, and got to say, good stuff, man.
Thanks. Much love.
My question deals with my ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
I think it's now been cured, ovarian cancer.
She does not have ovarian cancer.
And I want to know, her doctor told her that she could have gotten it from me and my sperm. Is that a rumor? Is she trying to get back at me or what?
Matt, she does not have ovarian cancer.
She has cancer laid in sperm?
Yeah.
She had abnormal cells and they turned into ovarian cancer.
All
right, Drew, tell Matt's connection's bad, so just tell Matt.
Let me talk to him for a second.
His phone's so
I gotta straighten this guy out. It's so totally out of control.
Set him straight, Drew.
Listen.
I know, I was getting that way. I was bothering myself.
Come on, Mayor Foyer.
But, Drew, you know when you yell at your dog for cramping on the sofa, do you think the dog really knows what's going on?
I feel sorry for the poor dog. He hung up? No, he hung up. All right, Matt's gone now. I've got to be satisfied.
Yeah, go ahead.
She has cervical cancer. She does not have ovarian cancer. And you get that, or one of the ways you get that is from the wart virus. And that's not from your semen. It's probably just from the skin of your penis. And, yes, you probably gave it to her. And if you didn't, you certainly have it now anyway, because you got it from her if she didn't get it from you.
So she has cervical cancer.
Cervical cancer.
Why not ovarian?
Because ovaries, the only way you get cells off the ovary is by doing surgery on somebody. Open their abdomen up. You can't get to the ovary that way.
So they couldn't have done a pap smear.
No way. And then and it wasn't even cervical cancer. It was probably pre-cancer. So what's called carcinoma in situ, or even something less problematic.
Or they get those abnormal cells.
And they just scrape it all off, and that's the end of that.
All right. Sounds good. Mm. But still, what was he, 16?
He was like 21.
He was 21?
Yeah.
I'm from North Hollywood.
He was 24.
Wait, is that old?
Yeah, ovarian cancer.
Most of my buddies in their mid-30s would easily get more of the story wrong than he got.
It
wasn't too far up.
Cervix.
Absolutely.
Right, here we go. Just show
you. No, I'm not looking.
Hey, look. This is the end of the vagina. There's the cervix.
Yeah.
The ovaries are way inside the abdomen. They're up in here. This is the cervix.
Great radio.
Ovaries up here.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to get that book.
Duh. Yes. You can put your finger to that.
Oh, and yeah.
This, you'd have to reach inside someone's abdomen.
Mm. Okay. Can the young lady go home now?
All right.
Can I borrow that book?
Adam, has a look of dread on his face when I open that
book. I don't like seeing women. I don't like seeing the parts in them. You know what it's like for me? I like a nice juicy steak, but I don't want to go to a slaughterhouse and see some cow get a hit with a sledgehammer. You know what I'm saying?
You don't want to see...
Amen, Adam.
It screws it up for me.
You want to see somebody in the stirrups with the speculum in them and looking inside and looking at the cervix or nothing?
That destroys my vision and perfection.
It's kind of cool. I've seen it. Yeah.
Have you? Yeah. I don't like to know that there's stuff in there.
No.
You know what I mean?
We don't want to see the birth canal.
That's right.
Mm.
All right, let's take a little break. Bad Religion is here, and we'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Bad Religion is in here tonight. Brooks, Greg, and Brett are all filing into the studio. Brett had a little trouble with a novelty coffee mug. It was dripping. Mm. So we're going to get that fixed up.
And, a whoopee mug.
Yeah. Well, not really, Drew.
Well, novelty kind of suggests it was like maybe oversized or...
Yeah, but they do have drip glasses.
Yeah, okay.
That's not bad. Hey, buddy, I'm not criticizing you. I'm just saying you're way off.
It's radio.
Off.
You know, you got to be clear about things.
All righty. I was having a little fantasy today about just doing this show for a living and what a great life that would be.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't notice it until, we work on Sundays. And I consider Sunday a day off because I don't do anything, and then I leave the house at 9:30, and come do this show. But I was thinking yesterday, boy, if all I did was this show, every day would be Sunday. That would be great, except for it'd be even a better Sunday. All the a-holes that were out would be off working. And I could roam the streets like Omega Man. You know that feeling of seeing the movie at 1 o'clock on Tuesday when there's no one else around? Like doing your business while all the schmoes are in their office. All the little worker ants punching the clock for the man. And you're running free, naked in the streets.
I think how much we like doing this show is Easter Sunday. We're like, we have this night off? Who cares? We're coming in.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't care. We're coming in.
Craig?
Yeah.
Yeah, but we're complaining when we got here.
Oh, but do we never not complain?
That's true. Craig, you got a question for Bad Religion?
Yeah, I have a punk band, and I wanted to know how we can get signed.
Talk to Brad.
Yeah, well, that's a good question. I guess, you know, you could always send a tape to a few labels. That doesn't usually work.
No.
Yeah, I know. We tried that already.
Do they even listen to them?
No. What you have to do is you have to play a lot of shows
get
a following in your own community. And if you can do that, then people will notice you and sign you.
Network with other bands.
Yeah.
Okay.
We've had this question posed to many bands and many actors, comedians, writers, whatever. It's always the same thing. Just go do it and keep doing it.
Yeah, and get real good at it and get a local following, because that's, you know, if you can't get one in your own hometown, then people are going to figure you can't get one nationally.
And the part about the tapes, you're saying they don't even like, I know like they won't even read scripts because there's legal issues involved with cracking open material, because then people claim that you plagiarized it later on and that kind of stuff. Yeah. I don't know what they do with the tapes. Do they just not have the time?
Well, no, I just don't have the stomach.
Wouldn't you say...
Everything sucks, right?
I'm just thinking about this. Wouldn't you say that for most people, and I would even say the majority, if not the vast majority, of people in some sort of creative or performance endeavor do that for a long time for free before they're ever actually paid for it, or at least nearly for free?
Yeah.
And by a long time, by a long time, I mean like years.
Yeah.
3 to 8 or 10, you know.
Oh, it's not.
Well, we all did.
Even you. I mean, think about it. You do this stuff for a long. Comedians, they do this for a long time because they like doing it.
Yeah. And with the exception of our young Brooks here, who was in a professional band when he was 8 years old, I believe it was.
Oh, really?
Wow.
He was a drum prodigy.
Hanson.
Silverchair? Hanson. Yeah. I'll buy that.
But, no, it's really true. I mean, you have to go out there and just do it and rehearse a lot and play shows in town. What town are you from?
Oh, where the hell is it?
From Torrance.
Torrance. So you go over to Gardena, you know, play restaurants.
You make the scene in Gardena.
Take the whole band and move to Garden Grove.
These days, don't you have to go to Bakersfield? Doesn't that stop?
Actually, Hesperia has a very strong punk
following. That's where it's going on now.
Bakersfield.
Go to Bakersfield.
If you can make it in Hawaiian Gardens, you can make it anywhere.
Oh, what a lovely city. All right, let's talk to Taylor, who's... Yeah, I don't know what the average time is, but it's not 3 years. It's more like 11 years.
That's like 10 years, yeah. At least.
I just had lunch with one of my old improv theater cronies last week, and we're just going over everyone we were in the troupe with 10 years ago, 15 years ago. Half of them still just banging away, just like teaching improv classes and doing 99 seat theaters and all that stuff.
And the other half just stopped.
Either they made it in some form in the business, not necessarily like in front of the camera, but writing or producing or something like that. Mm-hmm. Taylor?
Yep.
You're 21. What's up?
I have an incredibly high tolerance for drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering what would cause that.
Well, one of the ways to get tolerance is to be using drugs regularly.
No, I don't.
Which drugs are we talking about?
Pot and cocaine.
Some people are just sort of genetic heavyweights, though, right?
Well, that's true. And some people are
genetic lightweights.
Heavyweights.
Oh, they're heavyweights. Are you a big gal, Taylor?
No.
And pot is something that has very varied responses in different people, and some people don't get much from it. And some people don't get much from it until suddenly their brain is sort of primed to its effects, and of a sudden they'll get this intense feeling from it. So you may be, you know, heading towards something, or you may never feel anything much from it. And then as far as cocaine goes, that's hard to understand. How much have you done of that?
Actually, tonight was my first night, and I did a gram.
You coke oil.
Maybe it wasn't cocaine.
That's dangerous.
Yeah, that's a dangerous amount. How did you do it? You snorted?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe there was something that was cut differently or something. It was something not really cocaine.
As as a former abuser, can I give you some advice?
Yeah, but let me just ask one question. I had a friend who did a couple lines of the same cocaine.
Yeah.
And it affected her.
Well, remember that placebo effect we were talking about a half an hour ago?
Yeah.
People's expectations sometimes are such that they will feel effects.
I drew my buddy Ray a nice line of baking soda once, and he did the freeze and the whole
thing.
Got
real high.
Thanks, man.
Kids will pretend to be high. Let me give you some advice here, though.
Okay.
If you're experimenting with a drug that you've never done before and you don't feel anything,
mm-hmm.
Don't keep doing it.
Don't keep doing more and more, because it's a good way to kill yourself. Yeah. It's no joke.
Okay.
And good point.
To do a gram, wouldn't you have to do 20 lines? I mean, that's a fair amount of coke. I mean, depending on how big the lines were.
How much alcohol were you drinking with the cocaine?
None.
All right.
And actually, I'm wondering, now my heart is beating really fast.
No.
I'm wondering if it's starting to kick in, no?
Well, I'm wondering maybe this was speed. How long did you do this?
The cocaine?
Yeah.
How long ago? About 3 hours.
You would have felt something.
And maybe it was speed. Maybe now it's sort of kicking in more. Maybe it wasn't cocaine. It was more of an other stimulant.
Yeah.
And those will come on a little later.
Who knows what it got stepped on with. But, oh, man. One time I did this real coke, like good coke. Oh, man.
All right.
It was good. Yeah, what can I say?
Good.
Yeah, don't do it, though.
600 kids, yeah, thank you. 600 kids are going to try that.
No, I'm just, I'm saying there's a difference between, stuff,
That's
what I'm saying? But don't do it. That's what I'm saying.
You can do it, but they can't.
Well, I'm looking to get back into it because it's like $40.
All right, here we go. We're going to break.
I was cleaning carpets. It was $110 a gram. Now it's $70, I'm saying economically, it's something I could afford now. That's all I'm saying.
Good times.
But don't do it.
All right.
We'll be back with Bad Religion after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Brooks, Greg, and Brett are all here from Bad Religion. We'll hear something else off CD in this hour. And
Adam, I was just thinking about you talking about doing drugs, how you should be doing drugs, but the kids don't do that.
Don't do that.
You are Pops Corolla when you say. I mean, that is just guarantee someone's going to go out and do. I almost want to do drugs when you talk like that. Yeah.
Well, drugs are bad, so you shouldn't. You shouldn't
leave
do
them
that.
For you. There we go. All right.
No. I haven't. I have not done any coke or speed or any of that in over
2 weeks. Why did I bring this up?
No. How dare you? How dare you? I've not done a coke or speed in like 12, 13 years.
Right.
Easily.
Good times.
Beat it. Easily. Now it's just booze and pills. I'm sliding into one of those sort of Liza Minnelli kind of drug phases where I've gotten off the street stuff and now in the prescription meds that the candy man to my left over here provides me with.
Nice.
And I wash those down with ample portions of booze.
I love the way your career is shrinking, too. You can just 2 hours on radio and that's all I can handle. I love when I'm walking around in my slippers and pajamas.
Jason? Yeah, yelling at the census guy when he shows up once every 5 years.
Jason?
Are you speaking to me?
We are.
All right, great.
Hey. All right.
Hey. Bad Religion?
No.
You guys have been just my idols, and I've grown up with you guys, and how could hell be any worse? Don't know. But I got a question. Fat Harry the Promoter, in 92, Miami Square, said that Greg had the chicken pox, and I came up from the Keys to see you guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Harry in Miami.
And Fat Harry's a concert promoter in Florida.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, man. I hitchhiked like 300 miles.
Right.
It was only a 4-mile trip, right?
Right.
Okay, but, I don't think that he had the chicken pox and all and everything were really great, but I didn't get to see you guys.
Right.
But I still love you. Very,
thanks,
very much.
Well, thank you very much. We're not holding the grudge.
Well, Greg did have the chicken pox. It was no lie.
It really?
Yes, he did.
you know what?
Chickenpox in adulthood, Jason, is none to screw around with.
It's very dangerous.
He was stuck. He was stuck in a hotel room for like 4 days.
And you know what? I don't care what anyone says about Floridians. I love you guys.
Uh-oh. What do they say about
him? I don't know. I was just making that up.
I said something bad about Floridians.
I just wanted to say Floridian.
Floridian.
I said something bad about Floridians on the Dennis Miller on Friday.
Well, how'd that go? Did you see it?
Yeah, it was good. Dennis Miller's... let me say this. I've been banned from Conan and banned from Letterman as far as I can tell. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure why exactly, but most late night talk show host guys are sort of not human beings. They're weird, effed up guys, and they're all a mess, and Conan can kiss my hairy ass, you redheaded idiot.
No, wait a minute. He was a nice guy.
Oh, screw him. They kicked me off the show.
They didn't kick you off. They didn't ask you back.
And I specifically said I can't come back.
What'd you do?
What happened?
Yeah, tell us about it.
I don't know
it.
What
yeah.
happened.
Were you on with me that one time? Were you on again after that?
Yeah, I did. I went on alone after that.
Were you funny?
What happened?
Yeah, I was. He's a pussy. That's why.
You called all the audience members lesbians.
Well, okay, maybe. I call the audience lesbians. They're giving me trouble.
Don't shut up.
Everybody's a lesbian. Everybody knows that.
That's anyway. Right. Once in their life.
I hate all these late night people because they're just pusses.
We like Kilborn.
Yeah. He's not really a human being either. You're not counting
John
him.
John Stewart.
John Stewart we like. We're not counting Kilborn as a human.
They're all incredibly
being,
tall, for one thing.
They're a very rangy group.
They are.
Yeah, but they average like 6'5 and a half.
It's
yeah.
incredible.
Yeah what yeah. is that? And yeah. almost no body fat on these guys either. But the point is Dennis Miller, who is not everyone's the biggest fan of, I'll tell you this. He just tells you to sit down and you can talk about whatever you want to talk about, and he'll right. go with whatever you want to go with. And if you got to swear or call someone a lesbian, and so be it. And from that standpoint, it's a extremely easy show to do.
Why can't you call someone a thespian?
I don't know. I know. Wait a minute.
You're a lesbian. Okay, so Jason, you had some...
Adam, I turn lesbian just for you, bro.
Wait, right. No, let him ask his question.
He doesn't have a question. He's an idiot. Do you really need to get back with him?
All right.
Now listen, if somebody... he did his first 20 minutes on Bad Religion, right?
Yeah.
He hitchhiked 300 miles and the venue was only 4 miles away.
And there was chickenpox involved. I don't know.
Right.
Who would make that up?
Here's the deal. If you have a legitimate question on this show and you start off with a 5-minute rambling question that has nothing to do with your question, you run the risk of us not getting to your question.
In fact, more than a risk. The probabilities are extremely high.
I can almost guarantee it.
Yeah.
Hans?
Yeah, Adam, Drew, what's up?
Hey.
I've never done coke, but I did about 15 years of Bad Religion.
And with pot.
Thank you.
Yeah, a little bit of pot, man.
Yeah, just a little.
Just wanted to give props to Bad Religion.
Thank you very much.
Been a big fan. First time I saw you guys, I was 14 at the 930 Club in Washington, D.C.
Remember it well.
Yeah, great show.
Is that the show with Gwar?
Yeah.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. This show with Gwar at the 930 Club?
A very small stage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very slimy by the time we got on
about
there.
About the size of a one-bedroom apartment.
It was a memorable show because it was almost impossible to keep our footing.
Yeah. Yeah, I threw... they let us in. It sold out, and they let us in for probably about 75 cents, I think, I threw out the window when I ran in. So, awesome show, though.
Well, thanks for supporting us for so long.
Yeah. I just have a question. When do you guys think you're going to call it quits?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Tomorrow at approximately 3:15 p.m.
I'm quitting next
week. Oh, damn.
You didn't get the memo?
No, I didn't.
Hey, Hans?
Yeah.
They'll quit when they're good and goddamn ready.
I'm just trying to conceive how that would even happen.
I hope you guys keep.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean,
how would that
next Rolling Stones?
How would that even go down for you guys? I don't know.
A bunch of Keith Richards, huh?
Yeah, we're hoping that through the mapping of the human genome that we can go forever.
Yeah. I think that's possible. And as a band, I mean, a lot of bands should have the plug pulled, but you know, I mean, like when you're another type of celebrity, it's like your show gets canceled. Or you try to get a movie made and it can't be done. You just can't do it. As a band, you can always play. You can always tour. Maybe don't play as big of venues. Maybe don't sell as many records. And I guess at a certain point, you then have to decide whether you want to open, you know, custom van shows or not. But, yes.
In the future, we're going to do cruises.
There you go.
The punk cruise line.
And just
that
tour
would
the
be
world.
Good.
Yeah.
Except
why not?
Punks have no money to cruise.
Yeah, we'll be playing Sandals.
Drew, you ever do that Sandals?
No, I've never been there. It's for singles. Isn't it?
Is it?
I think
is
so.
It all singles, the Sandals?
No, they now have a family Sandals, which is where Bad Religion will be playing.
Oh, really? Then there's the Birkenstock, which is just for the lesbian. A little variation on the sandal there.
That's where I'm going.
Yeah. To the lesbians. The
Isle of Lesbos.
Yes, Adam.
You're 25.
Yep.
What's up?
Long-time listener, frequent caller.
Great.
Drew, I was going through my health department class about a year ago, and they mentioned tapeworm. What is it? What are the symptoms? How do you get rid of it?
Well, you pass proglottids through your rear, which are these little pieces of the worm. You get B12 deficiency. You probably have some fatigue, and you can, certain situations, the eggs might are released and migrate to your brain and cause seizures.
Oh, goody.
Do you lose weight?
Not usually, not necessarily.
Is that sort of a myth?
That's a myth.
Because whatever's in you is in you, right? I mean, where's it going?
It's a myth.
I mean, even if the tapeworm's eating every food, every ounce you take in, you're still, you may be getting a little scrawny, but tapeworm weighs 200 pounds. You got to add that on, right?
It turns out it's more in terms of deficiencies, nutrient deficiencies, than weight loss.
And when you say you pass pieces of the worm, how's that work?
That the egg, that these are segmented worms, and they're hundreds and hundreds of segments. And as they grow, they'll release segments filled with eggs. A piece of them just breaks off, and you pass it in the stool.
Wow,
these big flat.
Where do they come from, Drew?
Pork and beef.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
And
okay, then explain this one. I can eat a full meal, get like really full to the point of like physically ill-full, and then an hour later I'm starving.
Right, that's you.
Well, it's got to be tapeworm.
Yeah. Never heard of that before. I've never heard of a human being like that before.
Okay, there, Mike.
That's a common thing, Mike.
Oh, okay.
All right, Mike.
No problem.
I wish I had one of those sort of soft skulls where I could read an article on something and assume that was me, or watch a short film on something and assume that was happening to me. Is this sort of the cornerstone of being stupid? That you watch a scary movie and then you assume there's a ghost under your bed, or you watch a thing, a short on tapeworms, and you assume you have tapeworms. Or, you know, everything you see just becomes you.
Right.
Is that like, again, what kids do?
Yeah.
Okay, this is what happens, right? As an adult, you go to a scary movie, and then you go home, you go to sleep. But as a kid, you think whatever was in the movie's in your closet, right?
I see a lot of adults calling Miss Cleo, you know.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I used to have a hard time watching Unsolved Mysteries.
You figure the fugitive has got to be somewhere.
In my house or my dad. So
One of the things, I begin to think that one of the things is the flexibility and mutability of the self. If you have a clear sense of yourself and are flexible and have a clear sense of reality and your place in it, you're not going to be as prone to be swept into these suggestible things as others.
Right.
So that's not really cognitive. It's not. You don't have to be a PhD to do that. But you have to have a clear sense of yourself, and that self has to be healthy and flexible.
But,
see what I'm saying?
It's
an emotional thing more than it is a cognitive, intellectual thing.
You have trouble with context. I mean,
yourself is not whole.
But if there's a terrorist attack that's going to take place,
it's going to get you
on the soil of the United States, you figure it might be in your neighborhood. Oh, you figure there's a pretty decent chance.
Right.
And you're pretty freaked out about it.
That's grandiosity, right?
Is that grandiosity?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it is.
Yeah.
Which is, somehow everything evolves around me, even the negative scenarios
There's a great statement that one of the directors of the Del Amo Treatment Center has about behavioral addicts, sex addicts, and drug addicts. And it
hold on. Be prepared to be disappointed.
No, this
everyone.
Is good.
Go.
This is good. It describes our patients, they've described themselves this way, as a piece of S around which the whole world revolves.
Right.
Okay.
That is solid. Yes. It's like low self-esteem.
Or not. Or loose.
Meets grandiosity. Yeah, that was solid. We got a Bad Religion call here, but I kind of like this vampire call. It's been, bothering me, too.
Right.
So we'll do this one first. Yeah. They've been on hold for almost an hour. Joshua?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right here, man.
You're 16?
Yes, sir.
Do you have a vampire question?
Yeah, I started getting on with a vampire last Friday.
You did what?
I started going out with a vampire.
Mm-hmm.
Last Friday.
Yeah. Aren't those aren't vampires dudes, or don't you have to be like a succubus or something if you're a chick?
Vampress.
If she's a what?
A vampress.
A vampress.
Vampress, oh, yeah. Mm.
Is she a Floridian vampress, or? That'd be a great combo, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. Wouldn't it be vampirous?
I think it would be vampirous. Okay. All right, anyway, Josh, you start dating a vampirous, and...
And something interesting happened tonight. I was hanging out at her house,
mm-hmm.
and she gave me a shot glass-sized goblet full of cow's blood to drink.
Oh, that's nice.
Which, you know, I just...
That is a turn-on, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. No. Anyway, I did that willingly just to, you know, appease her, but...
Sure. Who wouldn't?
Anyway, we tasted each other's blood tonight. I'm wondering, what are the risks with that?
You tasted each other's blood?
Yes.
She was on a period?
Oh, that's just sick, dude.
Oh, Adam, how dare you? Oh, how dare you?
That is the only reasonable excuse for tasting a woman's blood.
I mean, drinking goblets of cow's blood and sucking on each other's veins. That's like, but
well, that, no,
suggesting that her period should be exposed to your...
That's true love.
Being. How dare you?
Right.
All right. Now, so you want to know what you can get from being exposed to other people's blood? Is that the question?
Yes.
Mm. Well, everything.
Everything. You know, hepatitis, HIV, all that good stuff. All the blood-borne malaria, yeah. You know, the viruses of various types. It's not a healthy thing to expose yourself to if she has anything at all.
But you trust her, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what's
well,
important.
What's the vampire?
Yeah, what's not to trust? Yeah. Although, you know, they say that... You know, when you have sex with someone, you have sex with everyone they've had sex with, which I'm still looking into. I'm also looking into the you can nap when you're dead thing, another thing I'm not
sure
about.
May I ask, how old is the caller?
He is 16.
16.
Uh-huh. That explains why you might still believe in vampires.
Well, as a vampire, aren't you alive for thousands of years? I mean, I'm saying she must have had sex with literally thousands of men.
35.
35 minutes. Well, she is a mess here, Joshua. A vampire, kids that get into this stuff, it's a fetish they get into.
And
it's a goth thing sometimes, too, but it's a little different. Yeah. And they have significant personality problems.
Hey, Joshua, do you really really need to go down this road at 16?
At 16, she's had 35 partners. She's sucking people's blood. She's drinking
cow's
blood.
Is she 16?
Uh-huh.
She's probably, 15.
Yeah, she's younger. Sure.
She's 15. Ooh,
35 right. partners.
Hey, Joshua, what's wrong with you?
Not, you know.
Are you that hard up?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, that's honest.
I admire his honesty.
I respect that.
Go for it.
Let's start from there.
And she's not safe, man. She's been with 35 people. Don't go near her blood.
That's right.
Hey, man.
It's very simple, Joshua. No. He's not going to stop. This is a man on a mission.
And listen, just don't get her pregnant, all right?
Can I say something else to you, dude? There's no such thing as vampires, and get into some skeptical thinking. It'll help you out in life.
How about just critical thinking? Maybe skeptical. Should be critical.
Well, for a start, but skepticism doesn't hurt in this
way. Well, they're skeptical about guys in uniform. That ends up they start worrying about the man too much.
Yeah.
And
but not vampires.
They're effing a vampire.
They're bleeding vampires.
Yeah, I mean, how many people who...
Definitely a lack of guidance.
How many people who believe in vampires also think that there's some kind of, you know, conspiracy going on the federal level with the government and that kind of stuff? Do you know?
Well, there's a distinctly antisocial quality to being a vampire, right?
Yes.
And oppositional and defiance and all that stuff. And you're not going to... Anything in authority, therefore, is bad.
Right. All right.
Not good. I have these really pointy teeth here. See, guys?
Me too. Look at that.
Yeah, yeah.
Later at night. Oh,
I'm Eastern European.
Nice canines.
What do you think? Goth or not.
Karen, what's up?
Derek.
Yeah. Go right ahead, Karen.
Oh, hi.
Hey.
I got a question. I just want to say, Adam Carolla, you're the smartest man alive. Dr. G is pretty smart, too.
Right.
And I just got the Bad Religion CD, and it's nice to hear signs of intelligence in people's lyrics nowadays. But
yeah,
so we're all smart.
Wow, wow.
I got a
bunch of smart guys hanging out.
Sausage party.
Yeah. Okay. What's up, Karen?
All right, but
what you just said is very stupid.
No offense.
So what happened?
What's up,
what
Karen?
Happened to you, Karen?
I got kind of two questions. I was raped when I had a tampon in, and I wanted to know if it would come out by itself or whatever, or do I need to get doctor's assistance because I can't get a doctor.
How long were you raped?
Huh?
When were you raped?
Last week.
Why didn't you immediately go for a forensic examination?
Because I'd have to tell my mother.
No, you didn't. Why would you have to tell your mother?
Because I was out of state, and I can't get to a doctor's office without my mom taking me somewhere.
You can't go to an emergency room?
No, I'd have to have her take me.
Why?
well, because I live out like in the country. I live out in the like out in the boonies.
So you couldn't drive yourself to a hospital. You don't drive a car.
No, I don't have a license or car. Oof.
Well, wait a minute, Karen.
Yeah.
Can you turn down whatever you got going in the background there, please?
Hang on.
Good spirits, though, to have been raped. And
yeah, she's still jovial about the whole thing.
All right, well, here's what the situation is right now. The tampon, if you can't reach it with your finger, it's not coming out, okay? And it has to come out because you can get toxic shock from that sitting up there like that.
Yeah, I heard about that.
And it's a common thing. Doctors pull these things stuff out all the time.
It's been a week. That's a while, right?
Yeah, it needs to come out, like, right away. Now, when you go in there to have that done, you've got to file a report about what happened. Now, it's too late to probably to collect anything meaningful as in, from an examination, but possibly something can be detected, and then you need to file a report.
Who raped you?
Some dude.
You know, I've been doing...
Some dude? What dude? Did you know him?
I just met him. I have his name in
I've been doing a bunch of study recently on what people do in traumatic experiences, and people who have been traumatized, you know, Adam, we've noticed that people who are traumatized early tend to re-traumatize. And what people do is they paralyze, and it turns out there's a part of our brain that we share with reptiles that causes reptiles to go into this sort of placid state where they're feigning dead.
Mm-hmm.
And humans do the same thing when they're being overwhelmed in a hopeless situation. They freeze. And they dissociate. They, like, check out completely. And the feigning, they think maybe sort of a remnant of the feigning death where they just paralyze.
Mm-hmm.
And here she is now having paralyzed, and she's now, that's just what she expects in her interpersonal experiences, and she's not going to do anything about this because that's just what happens. She just gets traumatized and paralyzed and dissociates, and there we go. Unless you're going to break that cycle, Karen, which is really important that you do, this kind of stuff will keep happening to you. It's what you'll expect from your interpersonal experiences.
Do I need, like, parents' permission or whatever to go to the doctors and do this stuff?
You do not need permission from anybody to get treatment. You may need permission to use your insurance.
Use my insurance?
Yeah. So you might want to try Planned Parenthood for starters.
Yeah, and also, what is the chance of getting pregnant with this whole situation?
Just as good as any other
On your period, though, it's lessened.
Well, the period was caused by a morning after pill I had taken a week earlier, so does that, like, make my chances better or worse?
What happened with that? Do you have a boyfriend?
Now I do.
Was it with a boyfriend that you had sex with that required you to take the morning after pill?
Yeah.
There was not another rape or something?
No, this is just a separate thing.
Well, what's going on with you? Where's your dad?
In his house, like, half an hour from here.
Oh.
But I'm my stepdad here, and he's, like, been around since I was little, so.
Is he a good guy or a bad guy?
Great guy. Nicer than my real parents.
So what's going? Some alcoholism or something?
No, I only drank him a few times.
Not you.
No, your real parents.
How about your parents?
Oh, parents? No. My parents are big stoners, but that's about it.
All right, they're real stoners. And why did you leave them? Why were they assholes?
Huh?
Why don't you like them?
They're just real jerks. They get in fights and stuff, break stuff in my room and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Did your dad hit you?
Only a couple times.
Only a couple times. Okay, well, at least it's just those.
Is this the first time you were raped?
Yeah.
You never had anybody abuse you when you were younger?
No, perfectly normal childhood.
No, except for the physical abuse and the dad and mommy hate and the stoner. Yeah, okay.
All right, baby.
Perfectly.
Karen,
just get normal out of your lexicon. That was not a normal childhood.
How's your boyfriend? I don't trust him.
He's not really my boyfriend, and I don't talk to him now.
Okay, well, stop having sex with this guy if he's not your boyfriend, all right? And the guy who raped you, it would be nice to bring him to justice. Do you know who he is?
Yeah, I got his name and address and all that stuff.
There you go.
Where'd you meet him?
I'm at a rodeo.
At a rodeo?
Yeah.
Yeah. They should start calling those rapios, because that's all that goes on over there, Drew.
Or just camp.
At least it wasn't camping.
Yeah, so camping is where all the raping goes on. Rodeo second.
Here's where it really be bad news. Camp rodeo.
Camp rodeo. Even the cows wouldn't be safe there.
A rodeo camp would be bad.
Bad.
All right, so Karen, you got to go in and get someone. You're going to toxic shock syndrome and die, all right?
All right.
And you get an exam and get this
report
guy.
Report this guy,
would you?
All right.
All right, start taking care of yourself. And listen, your parents were...
Go to Planned Parenthood.
...were bad people, okay? But so was a lot of people's parents. It doesn't mean you're doomed.
Here's a number for a local Planned Parenthood. 1-800-230-PLAN. 230-PLAN. All right.
Thank you, guys.
All right, good times, though, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I'll tell you, it is... When your parents don't treat you right, the kids basically just become, they just become dart boards for the world. I mean, they just, the chicks get raped and the guys end up working construction and cleaning carpets. That's what I did. I mean, you don't even know you've been done wrong. You get raped and it's like, yeah, it wasn't good, but let's not make a big deal out of this.
It become, their physiologic imprint just becomes victim. They think that somehow they have to, like, rethink the traumatic memories or release the feelings associated with. No, this is just, they're wired that way now because of these experiences. That is now their physiologic structure.
Well, can it be almost as simple as your own biological parents didn't give a good ass about you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, why should anyone else? I mean,
well, there's the whole issue of attachment and how that occurs. And if attachment is not secure, it creates a framework for very disorganized relationships. Very
right.
simple.
All right. We need to take a little break. Bad Religion is our guest tonight. We're going to come back. You're going to hear something from them. And we'll talk to more of you after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Brooks, Greg, and Brett are all here from Bad Religion. The Process of Belief is the name of the new and nicely selling CD. And the band's going to go out and co-headline the Warped Tour in just a couple of few. And
for all you European listeners, we'll be there next month.
Oh, you will?
Yeah.
What parts?
Who has that line? I don't know. Germany, Italy, Spain.
France, England, Ireland. Our first show in Ireland ever.
Now, you guys are smart, so you probably enjoy that, right?
Enjoy what?
Seeing Europe.
A lot of the bands.
No, you know, you don't get to see anything when you're touring. I enjoy Europe and not touring, no.
Unless we have a day off.
Right.
You know.
I like Europe. I just don't like Europeans.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. The food. Can you, well, is food good? Food's bad in England, right?
But well, you go Indian, right? Eat Indian, so.
Oh, yeah. Really? In England?
Yeah.
Food's really great in Southern Europe. The food gets worse as you go north.
I would, if I went to any of those places, I would immediately try to take tours of automotive factories.
Really?
Yes. If I went to Germany, I would love to go through, check out Porsche. I would love to check out Ferrari in Italy. Or Jag's probably made out here now, but they probably still got a plan
over
there.
What about Skoda in the Czech Republic to make a fine automobile there?
Yeah, see one of those nice cardboard two-strokes?
Yeah, uh-huh.
That would be great.
Yeah.
You know, my grandmother, Drew, you'd be interested in this, was, you know, my grandmother, the Corollas are, I come from a long line of stupid people who think they're smart, so they buy crappy European cars to make a statement.
Volvos before they were any good.
Yeah, these are the idiots who drove a Peugeot in 1963.
did they ever buy a Toyota Corolla?
No, ironically, no, but that was considered so bourgeois. You know, driving a Japanese car that way. They had to drive.
Worked.
These are the people that, these are sort of the granola hippie guys who drove.
Citrons.
And the Volvo, but old school Volvo,
the
like 1972.
Squareback VWs.
Squareback, yeah. Just anything that sucked and you couldn't get parts for, but it couldn't be American because that was ugly. You know, everything American did was ugly. You couldn't eat American food. You couldn't drive American cars. So you had to drive a piece of ass from France. That's great. That always broke down and was a piece of junk. But my grandmother had a two-stroke car in the, like, 50s and 60s. They bought it new from, like, West Germany or something and drove it across country. And could you imagine driving L.A. to New York in a two-stroke car?
Wow.
I mean, essentially it had like a dirt bike motorcycle engine in it, and you're mixing the oil in with the gas every time you pull it, and the black smoke is billowing out.
Was
the
it
thing.
A Trabi?
What kind of car?
It was like a KMG or something, some kind of letters. I'm sure the thing went under 5 minutes after they sold him the crappy car and everything like that. But just imagine, I mean, driving cross-country now with a, you know, air conditioning and a heater and an airbag is still a pain in the ass. Imagine back when you didn't have a goddamn headrest. You're just buzzing down the highway with
cars
smoke
overheat,
pouring out. Pull it over every 5 minutes driving at night. Yeah, you can't drive through the desert at night. No air, no radio. Oh, my God. They had it tough back then, the pioneers. They had to drive cross country. Wade?
Yeah.
You're 17?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
I kind of had a question for mostly Brett.
Here he is.
I'm a musician myself,
and but my real passion is to be behind the in the music scene. And I was wondering if there's any way or what I'd have to do to get an internship at Epitaph.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, just call up and ask for Andrew.
Ask for Andrew?
Yeah, he's in charge of interns.
Andrew may get 4,000 calls tomorrow.
Well, that's okay. Anyway, you know, we'd love to have people come by and work for free.
Yeah. All right, Wade.
And I just wanted to tell Bad Religion, you're my favorite band. I got every single one of your CDs. You're great. Thanks. And I listen to Loveline every night.
Thank you.
Wade's moving his way up the list there.
That's yeah. Right. Yeah. Good ass kissing.
Yeah. Wade, he's our man.
Yeah. All right there, buddy.
Nice wet ass.
Yeah. I know, I like, I don't know if you guys are on board with this, Drew. You may be a little too insecure, but a little ass kissing around the workplace is nice. It's
goes a long way.
Sorely missed around Loveline, but I'll tell you, at the man show, there's a couple of ass kissers. Hey, looking good today, boss.
A couple of ass.
Yeah,
and I know what I know. Kiss ass.
I know they're kissing ass, but I like it.
You should hear them talk when they're out on the, you know, on those shoots about you guys.
Well,
you guys
should
blow off a little steam.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Talking smack?
No.
I'm going to need some names after the show, Drew.
No problem.
There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with greasing a wheel or two for higher up. And listen, people go, you know what? That dude doesn't even mean it. He's just kissing your ass. And I go, I know, I like that quality. It's even better that he doesn't mean it. I like the fact
that he puts out.
That he puts out. That he's thinking, he's consciously thinking about kissing my ass. That's even better, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I like that you can say ass on radio as much as you want.
Oh, yeah.
And asshole.
Yeah, asshole. Yeah,
you can say that?
You can say asshole.
But you can't say the slang for pee.
You can't?
which one is that, Drew?
The one that ends in a...
May I say it? Anderson?
Yeah. No, we don't have to say it. We know the slang for pee.
Let's not say it.
Not
no, but we know what it is. It's right. It's another three-letter word, right?
It rhymes with kiss?
Yes, rhymes with kiss.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not kiss.
Jason? No.
Very bad.
Yeah.
You're 22?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, first I want to say Bad Religion. I like you guys a lot. I'm not really too much into punk, but I like that old track of yours, 21st Century Digital Boy or something.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Yeah, old one, yeah. Anyways,
that's a new Bad Religion song for me.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. Well, my problem is that I have no problem getting an erection, but I do like a second or a third time in the night with my girlfriend. Mm-hmm. I used to earlier, a couple years back, like when I'm, 18, when I probably was first really, flushing with the hormones, but I don't know if it's like something I should worry about or... Mm-hmm. Is there something you can do to, like, maybe get it up a second time? I can, but it's not like a really regular thing.
It's not as, it doesn't happen as quickly anymore.
Yeah, and my girlfriend seems to think that it's because I'm not attracted to her, but that couldn't be further from the truth.
They always think that.
Well, guys,
you're saying the right thing.
Humans, males, have a weird thing where variety gets them going more than the same person, strangely.
Yeah, because, I mean, I'm not, like, really too much into porn or any of that kind of stuff. I mean, I'll look at it every now and then, like when I was in my college dorm a couple of years back, but with a friend. But
what?
And that, we'll do it.
With a friend?
Well, the guy had the porn or something.
Some dudes do that.
No, just like
it's weird.
College dorms. Like you'd walk into your friend's apartment.
How old are you now?
Look at his stuff. He's 22.
He's 22.
You're not? You have no porn around your house?
Oh, well, no. I just moved down to L.A., so I had to leave it all up.
Lonely times.
Yeah.
Well, Adam, could you imagine leaving your porn behind?
Listen, I go to goddamn Canada for 2 days. I bring porn with me. I tell you, I got pulled over at the border. They pulled the Jugs out of the Jugs magazine out of my briefcase. It was humiliating. Remember that? I travel with porn. Do you understand? I'm thinking about getting a porn tattoo so it can never be taken away.
I'm more or less scared of my girlfriend finding it. That's one of
the All right. Well, listen, this girlfriend of yours sounds like a minor ball buster, by the way, Jason.
A little bit.
Yeah.
That might be getting you down a little bit.
That hurts the wing.
Do you think that maybe it's like I'm mentally trying to?
Listen. Who cares?
Hurts the wing.
He's fine. He gives it to his girlfriend, and then he goes to bed, right? Yeah, is that what he's saying?
He's in his rhythm.
He's just saying that he's not much of a stud anymore.
No, he's getting a little older. He's in his rhythm. He's with the same girl, and that's all right. It's okay.
And
by the way, I'm 38, and I have no problem the third time.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So I think it's genetics.
That's solid.
Once a month, though, mind you, Adam. That's all right.
No, not once a month. Seven times in a week, roughly six, seven times.
I'm
21 times a week.
I announced that I'm going for the hat trick, but I rarely.
You fall asleep before
pull myself
one,
off
right?
the ice. Yeah, after the first one. Yeah. Yeah. I announced that. I do that when I'm really hungry.
You announce it to yourself.
Yeah, I'm smart
yourself.
Enough not to announce it to the world now. But it's the same thought I have when I hit the buffet.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm not 38 either. I'm 40.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I actually forgot. I'm getting senile.
Yeah, it, true. Do you do that?
Oh, yes.
Oh, you've done the age thing where you don't know what you are?
All the time.
Okay, good. Yeah. Good. Yeah, now, even with the year thing, I get a little wacky, too.
Every time I ask, I have to add it back up. Yeah. Because it gets weird at a certain point.
It does get weird. It's weird.
You know what's going to happen is, like 10, 15 years from now, it's going to be like the movie Memento. We're gonna have like my
right.
my address written on my forearm.
It's a great movie.
My last name spelled out correctly and stuff. Because I'm just going
to
be...
Remember to watch porno today.
No, the porno will be on his arm. Don't worry.
All right.
Yeah.
Remember to read Jugs at the border.
Yeah, yeah. We will motivate him to read his arm.
Yeah. All right, Anderson, can we... No, we should take a break. You want to hear a song?
We
can do that.
Let's go.
All right. This
Five,
one
six,
is from...
Seven,
yeah, Bad Religion, Broken. Greg and Brad are all here from Bad Religion.
So anyway, I yelled... morning in front of his mom. So
that's another one of those rules. That's another word you can't say on radio.
Oh, jeez.
They push the button.
Sorry.
Livestock. Penis warning.
Yeah. We were just having a,
sorry, people.
An interesting interesting discussion during the break about Greg and his exhibitionism.
Not me.
No.
The other one. Right,
Greg Graffin, yes. Who seems to be a decent man by all accounts, but... I could see him wanting to show his penis off around. He must have a decent sized penis in order to be wanting to
show
around.
I've never seen a show that close.
It's the eighth natural wonder of the world.
Is it nice?
Oh, geez, big. Oh, you wouldn't believe it. Unbelievable. Yeah.
It's more beautiful than the Hanging Gardens.
I find that the guys with the nice physiques, their shirts seem to come off just a little bit more.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. And it's all right if it's within... there's the guys who take their shirts off when it's like 56 degrees outside, or they're like riding a motorcycle with their shirt off or something. Like, I was thinking, like, really, how hot is it that you can't have a T-shirt on? I like the guys who take their shirt off to walk. Yeah. You know these guys?
Stick in their back pocket.
Yeah, they hang it out of their back pocket. It's like... Listen, buddy, it's 79 degrees out here. You're going out for a pack of butts. Your shirt has to come off. Any movement. Now, let me give you a hypothetical. Let's say you're at home and you're sitting on the sofa and you get up to go into the kitchen. Would the shirt come off for that journey, or would you leave the shirt on?
I don't even
Is it
take
a distance thing? Like, is it anything over, like, 3 kilometers your shirt must come off?
I don't even take mine off when I'm alone.
Yeah, I really like that. I like the, you know what that is too. That the dude who takes the shirt off, who's just taking the walk down the liquor store. Ironically, they're not exercising. Mm. The shirt comes off, but they're wearing jeans oftentimes, and then the shirt gets tucked into the back pocket as if it's being saved for something more important,
or even worse, parachute.
What street are you driving down when you see this?
Santa Monica.
Yeah.
No, I see this a lot, and the guys always have the same walk. It's that slightly bull-legged, don't F with me walk. You know the guy I'm talking about? He's walking, and he's a little... He looks not tough, but scrappy.
It's not walking, it's strutting.
It's a little rusty bit of a strut, and it's don't F with this guy.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Like my shirt's already off, so I'm ready to go.
Yeah, but you
he's good to go.
Feel like you should F with these guys?
I do, yeah. I always just want to yell at him, hey, you know, put your goddamn shirt on.
I've seen enough
male nipple to last me a lifetime. And then when the guy's got the pierced nipple, I get extra offended because it's like, listen, I'm not beating off to this. I'm angry. Do you understand? I'm offended. The guy with the double nipple piercing, got each nipple pierced and his shirt's tucked into his back pocket, and he's talking to you, you're focusing on these bars going through his nipples. That's a little bit intrusive.
The worst is when the T-shirt is ripped right over the nipple. So only the nipple's showing.
Yeah, that's another good look.
I'm not opposed to that look. I think the effort is definitely there. So.
Dave?
You appreciate the effort?
Yeah, I appreciate the effort.
Yeah. What's happening, guys?
I'll tell you, conversely, what's a great look a guy on my high school baseball team had was the sweatpants with one leg cut off, but the other one full length. I used to love that look. One leg cut up short, like way up mid-thigh, and the other one went all the way down to the sock.
That's Wu-Tang Clan.
Sweats is a whole different world.
Yeah.
Hi, Dave, what's up?
Hey, what's going on tonight?
What's going on?
Hey, first of all, I want to say Bad Religion, you guys kick ass. And, you know, I'm kind of disappointed that you guys didn't come to Portland this year, but I got the new CD, so it's cool.
Thank you very much.
Anyways, my question was, I'm thinking about getting, you know, like a Prince Albert.
No, don't do it.
Down through the hole.
Right.
And I'm just wondering if, like, there's any nerves or anything that...
Nerves in the penis? No.
The head of the penis.
Oh, my goodness. What a question.
No sensation in the head of the penis.
I'll tell you what, if there were no nerves in the penis, the human race would be doomed, my friend.
That's right. We'd not be having this
conversation. What are you talking about, David? Of course there's a lot of nerves.
Well, he wants to know what he can damage it.
You can
cause bleeding and sloughing, and you can cause permanent erectile dysfunction. Those things that can happen.
I hope you like to sit down when you pee.
Doesn't happen often. I brought in a... We're just starting to see a cumulative number of side effects and untoward effects of piercing. I brought in this article yesterday or a couple of days ago about a brain abscess from a tongue piercing. It's, things can happen. Of course, you're putting a foreign body through an appendage.
Yeah, pretty cool, huh?
Yeah.
Good times.
Pardon my ignorance, but Prince Albert, that's
right through
the urethra. Right through the head. Right?
Through the urethra and out the base.
Ouch.
We've seen it done. They do
very artistic.
They do it with a sort of a hooked needle, and it goes in up up the urethra and then breaks out at the bottom.
A buddy I know, a buddy of mine has one, and he can't urinate without spraying everywhere.
Right, sit down.
Which
why
is,
won't,
yeah, it's
why
a lot
wouldn't
of fun.
You want to get one?
Yeah. Yeah, who wouldn't? Right.
I mean, I'll tell you this. This is one of those things where if this was not done, you'd not heard of it, it was not socially acceptable at all, and somebody just sort of brought it to your attention and said, you know, how much, no anesthetic, for me to take this thing. Now I'm going to go in the urethra, but I'm going to pop out about the bottom of it. It'd be like $70 million.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm paying you $120 bucks. Yeah. Are you high? This would be like.
No, are you high? You punch the guy. You hit him.
No, I would say, look, take a pinky. Take the pinky on my right hand. I'm left-handed. No problem.
Take it off.
Just take it off.
Take my thumb.
Yeah. Just the concept of having a sprinkler system down there after it happens.
Yeah, think about
really
that. You would be just you would be outraged.
Yeah. You wouldn't understand it. And there's we've seen it done. We had a guy who did it on this show. There's no anesthetic involved with it. Yeah. And if ever there was a time for anesthetic, it would be this.
Nice
gotta
call.
Hurt.
Thank you.
Oh,
the
poor.
And they give Prince Albert and a vasectomy at the same time. I might go for that.
Yeah, you would not
the combo deal,
Walmart combo.
I don't know. And listen, chicks don't all bad chicks times. Just think you've done a lot of heroin when they see this.
Chicks thing. Don't care at all.
No, Tim.
What's your
You're 44.
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, Drew had talked about last week some reading he had done, insight on feelings and. You know, some research being done and that you kind of are either develop that or don't, you know, insight on your own feelings and those of others.
Yeah.
And I just, you know.
Yeah, I was talking about attachment and empathy.
Do you have a book you want to suggest, Drew? Because I want to get to the one question.
Okay, anything by Alan Shore, S-C-H-O-R-E. Alan Shore, Mary Maine, M-A-I-N-E.
Yeah, that's enough.
John Bowlby, B-O-W-L-B-Y.
Can never mention our book, can you, Drew?
No.
Drew, you're 15?
Hey.
Quick question for Bad Religion, because we're almost out of time, but you've been on hold for 85 minutes, so I feel bad. Hmm. You want to know if they're anti-Christian or just anti-religion in general? Is that your question?
Yeah.
Okay. What about it, fellas?
Yeah, neither one, really. We came up with a name in the early 80s, and it was kind of a reaction to Jerry Falwell and Jimmy Swaggart and the televangelists who were going then.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's, you know, obviously, it's been a lot of grist for the mill in terms of songwriting, and we've had, you know, a lot of ideas come out of it. But no, we're not anti-religion. If it helps somebody out, then that's good for them.
All right. Good. Fair enough. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. That's your show. Bad Religion, everybody. The process of belief. Go out and get that CD and make it an even bigger success than it already is. I want to thank the guys for coming in here today. And they came back after a short period of time. But you know what? Because they're such good goddamn guests. That's why.
Mm. And good guys.
We
good
love guys. Doing Love Line.
Why do you have to bring God into everything?
We would love to have you back anytime, God willing, very soon.
God bless you guys.
Thank God.
And we'll get God out of the studio tomorrow night when the anal queen comes in.
That's a good segue.
So until next time, Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Love Line. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.